When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. Don't cry. Dry your eyes." But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God. So many entry points into this. Now, if you have a cell phone, do you have a cell phone? Go ahead and pull it out for me. We're going to illustrate something real quick. Look how everybody's moving. You know why? Because the latest Pew study says that 100% all of Americans in that study that they just did, age 18 to 29, own a cell phone. Every single one of them in the study. That makes a cell phone as important as electricity or gas for this generation. Something we don't always understand about our young people. To you, it's just a phone. To them, it's a utility. In Puerto Rico, more people have cell phones right now than they have power. Puerto Ricans are Americans. I just want to point out how shameful this is. Puerto Ricans are Americans. Amen? On the Navajo Reservation, the largest reservation in the country, more people have cell phones than running water. 40% of the reservation does not have water. In this country, this is something, y'all. People with cell phones across America, how many people with cell phones across America? 95%. But this thing is only as useful as our willingness to carry it. If you need to tell someone you're running 15 minutes late, I mean, you could also stop being late, but you could also be on time, but why would we do that, right? Like, what are you talking about? But you got a phone. If you need a phone to send the crying face emoji to the joke that made you neither cry nor laugh, you've got a cell phone. What is the emoji for, like, when I look at most jokes on the internet? I don't cry, I don't laugh, I just go, huh. What's the huh emoji? Could somebody tell me that? Somebody text me the, huh, that was cool. That was kind of funny. A cell phone is only useful when we use it. We carry our phones because they are easy to carry. Look how light it is. We use them because they are easy to use. This wasn't always the case with cell phones. I don't know if y'all know some cell phone history. Before the 5G LTE, the small little thing, they had the 4G. And 3G was when most people even thought about a cell phone. That was when you probably got your cell phone. They had 3G and it was all over. My goodness, 3G. 2G came before that. That was the first digital signal. The first time you could send a digital signal across the phone, that means you could send a text message. Now, if you tried to send a text message in 1995, it was not a pleasant experience. You had to press every button 3 times to get to the letter. It wasn't fun. But I want to go even further back than that. Let's go even further back, to a time you remember when a phone was something that you used in a house. Back when it was possible to miss a call. Like, if somebody called, I missed it. I didn't even know you called. For the serious business person, that's probably how the ad went. For the serious business person, the person who needs to take a call anywhere. They invented the car phone after that. And the car phone, which was as big as a house phone, except it could be installed onto your car battery. And so you could talk for about 30 minutes, and then like somebody would need to jump your car afterwards. That was 1G right there. Then they figured a way to install a portable battery inside of a briefcase. I know y'all remember this. They had the battery in the briefcase and the brick phone. If you had the briefcase phone, you were balling, period. That thing was so expensive, you were balling. You were the Chi-Town version of baby. Man, if you got that, shout out to you. But they were so heavy. They were so heavy. This was the price. If you want to use it, you have to carry it with you. The resurrection works in the same way. Easter, the empty tomb, life after death, don't cry, dry your eyes, long live God, life on top of death, overwhelming life is not always there. We know this from our own lives. If it were always active, you would have no hard times. Our prayers of the people would be, God is good, y'all. Ain't God good? Yeah, God real good. If it were always active, we wouldn't know difficulty. The resurrection would fix difficulty as instantaneously as it appeared. You would always have the hedge of protection, they say, around you. Guaranteed life. It would be automatic. Some churches promise this to people, that salvation creates this automatic life app, like Jesus is an antivirus on top of our life, that no bad will enter if you just get saved. He will block pain. He will stop your haters. He will make you rich. Come on now, you've heard this. It's a good way to leave on Sunday, but it introduces questions on Monday, doesn't it? When you fussing again. When you complaining again, when something else has happened. On Friday, when the check comes and the check is spent already. What happened to my automatic resurrection? What happened to my Jesus McAfee auto? What's going on? The conquering of death is not automatic. And many of us die in spirit when we put our faith in autopilot. Well, I got confirmed. I was 12 years old. I got baptized. I got baptized twice. I'm good. It doesn't enact when you put your church clothes on. It doesn't enact when you say Black Lives Matter, when you say Stephon Clark. It doesn't matter when you put the hashtag in. It does not activate then. It's not like that. If you want life, you have to carry it with you. But it feels like instead of getting easier to carry, it's getting harder. Anybody feel me? It's getting harder. The older we get, the harder it gets to proclaim life and resurrection. Why do our lives not improve at the speed of technology? Why do the Tesla batteries get smaller and the range gets further, but mine get bigger and heavier? My goodness, the presence and the reality of death, of the Navajo without water, of Puerto Ricans without power, of refugees without home, of citizens without safety, of women without safety, of death that looms over us. The death, the darkness, the nothingness, the void, of teachers without support, of entire neighborhoods without investment, of investment without protection, death, when mothers must teach their daughters to be careful and fathers must teach their sons to be careful, not be great, be bold, be courageous, be careful. When we tell ourselves that Stephon Clark would be living if he would have acted better, what did he do? When we submit that evil is evil, and so we must change to survive. That is death. What we communicate to ourselves when we look in the mirror. Contempt. What we project onto others, insecurity. What we flee from, cowardice. What keeps us frozen still, fear. what we lust for, greed, what our minds and our bodies have become accustomed to, medication. Our lives are not lived out on a lush lily field. The hills are not alive with the sound of music, but the rattle of imperfections. Where those fireworks are gunshots. Every siren that comes past and a life is being changed. The damp feeling we get from it all, the damp feeling. In these moments, making the claim of the resurrection that life is life, that love still wins, that in my scarcity I am abundant, feels about as easy as carrying a brick phone. Resurrection will sometimes be a briefcase battery. It will be hard to do it. It will be hard to carry. And most folks will leave Easter right in this room. We got it. We took pictures. We look good. Am I okay? Put it up on Instagram. I was here. Y'all saw me. I went to church, right? And then leave it right here. It feels light now. It's easy to proclaim life when the choir is behind you singing like that, right? It is easy to proclaim life when trumpets are in the air, raining down sounds of harmony from you, melodies from heaven. Oh, it is easy to proclaim life. Long live God. The church say amen. But soon it will become heavy again. For some, it is heavy right now. And something has happened that we think that we're supposed to be lifted up by those around us, that our friends, our partners, the government, they should help us. They should help us. We live in a world where we expect to be affirmed. No, this world has been built on denying your affirmation. Do you understand that? This country has been built on denying your personhood. It has gotten to be the greatest country in the world by denying your ability to exist and be equal. If you are old and sick, or lack ability, or lack money, or a different color, listen, no, we ain't even got to go through the list. If you are not a hetero white male by what, age 30 to 50, got some money in the bank, if you and have an outgoing, bubbly personality, if that ain't you, there is no affirmation built for you. It will not come. It is only automatic for him, and if that does apply to you, then listen, that is not affirmation at all. You are not being affirmed. People are encouraging you to use your power to dominate others. That is, there's no affirmation in that. No, you are going to have to carry your affirmation with you everywhere you go. It's not on the preacher. It's not on your mama. It's not on whoever did whatever to you back then. Whatever happened, listen, it was real, but they are not bringing you life. It is on you. That's what our children are teaching us. If you don't do gun control, we will march for our own lives. Any Simpsons fans here? Any Simpsons fans here? Just me. The Simpsons. Not O.J. Simpson. The Simpsons. The TV show. The TV show. I'm a Simpsons fanboy. I tell you, I done seen every episode 10 times at least. I know quotes don't, let's not get into it. Seasons 1 through 9 are some of the best television that ever exists. Seinfeld, Breaking Bad, I get it. But listen, seasons 1 through 9, there's an episode where Bart is at soccer practice. Everybody at least knows Bart Simpson, right? There's an episode where Bart is at soccer practice and he's waiting for Homer to come and pick him up. And you know Homer. Homer is just a caricature of irresponsibility and buffoonedness. He's sitting on the couch drinking a beer, and it's raining now, and he's thinking, I know I'm forgetting something right now. I think I'm forgetting something. And then it starts thundering and lightning, and even the dog jumps in front of him. Bark, 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 bark. He says, I can't think with all of this noise. And he runs upstairs and goes into the bathroom, takes off his clothes, and gets in the bathtub. Is that how you clear your mind? This is what he did. And he falls asleep in the bath. And in his dream, his son has turned into a skeleton on the field. Who we are waiting on to remember us may not show up. We'll be waiting on these homers in Washington till we blue in the face. We will be waiting on these homers in City Hall till we're blue in the face. But God remembers you. We will build a narrative of ourselves based on a false narrative told about us. We will take what they say about us and say it about ourselves based on our disappointment, based on who has let us down. We write ourselves as the protagonists in the great tragedy. But we need to stop that, church. We need to stop answering death with death. We need to stop acting and going about as if we are dead because, and I mean this, you beautiful, logical child of God right next to the University of Chicago. See, if you are dead, then why are you not dead? Why are you still here? Something has made you keep going. In the midst of everything, you have found the strength to make it here, to be in community, to sing hallelujah. Life woke you up. Why do we leave it in bed? We leave life in bed, but something kept you going. Something kept these women going in Mark 16, the day they come with perfume spices to cover the body. Check this out. To anoint them, the scripture says. But back up. What happened before this? What happened? Somebody say it out loud. What happened? Why are they going to this tomb? Jesus died, right? He did die, right? For all this talk of a grand insurrection that Jesus was going to bring, that this was a zealot community looking to Passover, these Romans, like their ancestors, did the Egyptians. And I think all of this is true, but that means that Jesus and his followers had failed. Later they'll succeed. Actually, no success yet. But in this moment, the day after the Sabbath, Mary, and Salome are sitting with the stench of failure all over them. Their prophet, their savior, their Messiah, their king has died. And the other disciples know this, and that's why they're locked away in fear. They ain't here. You notice that, right? A good dose of reality is good enough to give smart people common sense. But this moment here is not being smart or being afraid or being measured or being appropriate. These women, in their failure, have come to anoint Jesus. In their failure, now these women, in their shame, in their embarrassment, in the doubt that the word of God was true, still find the urge to anoint him. These bold women in death are carrying what preserves life. They are carrying the spices to anoint and preserve his body. Even in failure, they find the strength to bless God. Resurrection responds to the myth of failure that we ought to tuck our heads in and hide away. Some of us, when we run into trouble, we stop coming to church because of the shame. Some of us, when we get overwhelmed, we stop coming into community. No. Even in failure. Listen, we will know failure in our time here. It's some failure in this room right now. It's some failure at this pulpit right now. But while we are ashamed, these women keep going. While the fear of where the fear of failure keeps us from doing what we're supposed to do, they keep going. They know the truth about death, that failure would not kill them, and they were about to learn what we know to be true, the truth of the gospel, that death couldn't kill them. Death could not kill them. When it's supposed to be over, church, when they kill programs in the city, it's supposed to be over when they take the funding away. When they kill ideas, church, when they killed King, they thought they killed a movement. But death cannot kill a movement for life. When grandma died, when daddy died, when daddy wasn't there, death was supposed to kill your family. But death cannot stop life. Life will always have the final word. Even those that died will live. Because you will carry them. You are the resurrection. You will carry the spice of life. Even in failure, can you bless God? That is the question above all others in this text. Can you carry the spice of life? They say variety is the spice of life. Okay, how many ways can you find to bless God? I'm not talking about clap and dance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you leave here. How can you bless God in your life? How can you bless God in your words? How can you bless God in your actions? How can you bless God in your status messages? How many ways can you find to keep yourself going, even in failure, even in stress, even in being overwhelmed, even in not having any answers, to know that this is not my end, this is building me, to carry that, to cover your heart in that, to protect your spirit from decomposing in this broken world? They will kill you, church. They will kill you and walk away. They didn't have all the answers, these women in the text. It even says that they were wondering along the way. This is my favorite part of this text. We read over it every year. They were wondering along the way, who's going to roll this stone away for us? Wait a minute. We hadn't thought about this. We're going to bless God, and none of us are strong enough to do this. This is how ready they were to love Jesus. They got that far and hadn't even thought about it. In our lives, now, we not like those women. In our lives, we won't do anything. We won't leave out the door until we know what we're doing. We got the plan. Here's the steps. It's going to be, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And then this will happen at the end. Fully expected strategy. And without that, we not going to do it. But there is no room for mystery when we plan our lives like that. We plan our lives instead of letting God plan with us. Instead, we must be ready. Take an analytical approach to everything. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. But the resurrection responds to the myth of ready, y'all. That until you know the steps, don't do anything. They don't have all the answers, but they go. They don't know what's going to happen next, but they go. And also notice this. Question it in your quiet time with God. The angel does not send them. The angel's not the one who sends them to go to the cave. They meet the angel at the cave once they decide to go. The angel is in the mystery. God is in the mystery. We discover life when we carry it with us. We must journey with life already inside of us, hope already inside of us. If no one affirms me, I will affirm myself and live so affirmed that you have to affirm me. And there, life will meet life. And the angel tells them the truth of the gospel. You haven't failed. And even tells them where they can find more life. Go back to Galilee. Say Galilee. Galilee. Now, I know you got a brunch to attend to. I know the kids have an Easter egg hunt. I know that there is much anxious preparation for this day, for a day of this scope. And so I'm going to move out your way. What I hope is that you will carry life with you. Don't leave it here. Don't leave Easter in this building on this day. I hope when somebody says something to you, when somebody calls you out your name or treats you out of your dignity, that you will respond with life. I hope that in everything you do, you will show up for life. Show up for life. Wake up tomorrow ready for life. Go out today, show up for life. Everywhere you go, tell yourself, I'm showing up for life here. I don't care if there's no other life in this room. I'm showing up for life. When you get rocked at work, think about what the life response is going to be. Not the you response, the life response. Okay, we're going to figure this out. When you get rocked at home, okay, God, carry not despair, but the spice of life. And if you're looking for life, unsure to how to respond to all this that is going on, go back to Galilee. Listen to the angels. Jesus started his ministry in Galilee. It was a nowhere town. Trump would have called it much worse than that. But go back there. Go back there. Jesus went back. Don't be afraid to go back to your own life. Don't be afraid to dig into old experiences. In fact, mine them for strength. You have been weak before, and God made you strong. You have been confused before and found clarity. You have been lost before. Go back to Galilee. Go back to where you started. Go back to your experiences. Go back home. We get this far and we leave our past behind. Oh, I made it out of that. No, carry it with you. Carry your experiences with you. I don't care how painful they are. I don't care if your granddaddy was the most racist man in the world. Carry him with you and respond to him with life every time you see someone else. Go back to Galilee. All the strength you need is within you. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 17, and they didn't understand it at all. All the God you need is within you. It's already there. The resurrection has been done. You don't need to make it. You don't need to raise Jesus from the dead. You don't need to roll the stone away. You don't need to do anything. It has been done. God has overcome death. Don't just do Easter. Carry it with you. I know that battery is heavy, but carry it with you. That's the only way it'll ever be useful. Amen.